Well, good morning, High Point Church, and we welcome you to another power-packed message in the Word of God, praise God, where we exalt the Word of God in our church, praise God, because it's the Spirit and the Word that agree for our victory, praise God. So this is what we're doing right now, is we're giving a big emphasis to the Word of God, yes, as always, but also to the spiritual side of things, because we're studying prayer right now. And prayer is a super important aspect of every believer's life. I know there are people out there that feel like they got a calling on their life to pray, and they feel like they're called to be an intercessor and this and that, and I believe that there are people called like that, but I believe every believer is supposed to be a prayer warrior, praise God. Every believer is supposed to be praying. So what we've been studying through this is some of the nuts and bolts of prayer so that we can learn how to be more powerful in our prayer lives. Because we've learned that God has given us some awesome promises, is that when His people seek Him with all their heart, they will find Him. And when they ask, they shall receive. When they knock, the door will be open. But when we look at most people's experiences in their life, we see that not everybody has that experience. It doesn't seem like everybody's prayers are answered completely. So what we're learning is that there is power in prayer, but the way to release the power that is in prayer is through the protocol of prayer. Which is what? It is the structure, it is the plan, it's the way in which God has laid prayer out to us, because us just praying our own way, however we want to do it, whenever we want to do it, isn't necessarily going to be the most fruitful thing. If we want to be fruitful in our prayer lives, we need to find out how God said we're supposed to be praying. So that's what we've been studying. And so we've asked a bunch of questions, like what is prayer? What do we do when we pray? How to pray? In our lives. And we've answered these questions and gotten into some very practical things so that we can be more effective in our prayer life. We've also learned how to pray the will of God. And we've also learned in how to pray the will of God, the spirit in which we are to be praying, which we found out that's rejoicing and thanksgiving, that we're praying from a positive, faith-filled standpoint when we pray, which is what is pleasing to the Lord. Hallelujah. Through our prayers. Now, most recently, we've talked about the power of persevering prayer. And if you've studied the New Testament like I have, you have come to find out real quick that one of the big topics, the hot topics in the Bible is the P words, patience, persistence, and perseverance. It's a big deal in the New Testament. And the reason why is because they were under such hot persecution during that time that they knew that if they could persist through it, if they could persevere through it, that they would win every single time. And we need to know that as well today. That it's not just through faith that we inherit the promises. It's through faith and patience that we inherit these promises in our life. Amen? So what we learned from James chapter 1 is that it's similar to when a man and a woman get together and a child is conceived. Well, how many of you know you better have some patience, because it's going to take normally around 9 months for that baby to be manifested. Likewise, with the answers to our prayers, there might be a conception period, but then there is the seed time and then the harvest. Amen. So we learn from James chapter 1 that we start off counting it all joy. Amen. When we fall into various trials. Why? Because we know we're expecting. Just like a husband and a wife, when they find out that they are with child, most of the time, they are celebrating. And they're like, praise God, let's have a gender reveal party. And let's just celebrate the fact that we are with child, praise God. But then there is the patience that is needed throughout the rest of the time before that baby comes. So that that baby can have time to grow and be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, amen. So this is what we've learned all through this, is that we need to let our babies, in terms of prayer, come to full term. Amen. So that we can receive those promises in our life. So let's go back over to Ephesians chapter 6. And I am so super excited about this week and the next week, because to me, these are some of the most important things that we will learn throughout this entire teaching. We're going to begin talking this week and over the course of next week, talking about the different kinds of prayer and the different kinds of supplications in our life. And this is something I've come to find out most Christians do not realize at all, is that there are actually various kinds of prayers that we are to pray in specific situations. And because everybody just lumps prayer into one category, and then I'm just praying the same way for this as I'm praying for this, we don't necessarily get the results that we should get. There is a specific way to pray in every situation. So that's what we're going to begin talking about this week. Now, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, I made the point last week when we covered this verse that this is simply a continuation of Paul's greatest teaching on spiritual armor and spiritual warfare. And so why that's important to understand is that he didn't end in verse 17 when it seems like he got done describing all the various parts of armor that we have, talking about the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, and so forth. This is a continuation of that sentence. So when he says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, what we need to be reading when we see that verse is, prayer is a part of the weapons of our warfare. And that there is spiritual power in our prayers. And we need to see it as the weapon that it really is. And you remember I made the point last week that this is how we get things done in our life. The things we desire to see happen, the change we desire to see in other people and in other things. Prayer is the greatest weapon we have. But what I've found is the majority of people don't depend on God to make it happen. They try to make it happen. Because, you know, like all of us, we're Reds, type A type personalities. I'm one of them. I know I've got the persuasion in me that if you want it done right, do it yourself. Right? But how many of you know that's not New Testament scripture? That's not what God said. He said, if you want it done right, let me do it. Amen? And so when we're looking at this, we need to understand it's about God producing this change. It might be in a relationship that you have, and you're like, man, I want that person to change, and they're always acting that way and this and that. And then what do? What's the tendency? To try to change them. Amen. We try to coerce them. We try to manipulate them. We try to do all these different things because we're leaning in the arm of our own flesh to try to make it happen. The best way to do it is just be quiet, pray to God, let God work in their heart, because most of it's heart issues anyways. Amen? So that's what we learn, is that this is spiritual warfare when we look at prayer here. But what we saw last week, like I said, is the spirit in which we are to be praying always with all prayer and supplication is being watchful and having the perseverance. Amen? And we found out that being watchful is having our spiritual eyes and ears open when we pray. And to me, this is a big deal in terms of how we pray, because what I've come to find out is the majority of Christians walk in the flesh. That usually doesn't go over when you say that, but it's true. And therefore, when they pray, if they pray, they pray in the flesh. They only see what's going on naturally and physically. But what we got to understand is there is a spiritual influence behind so many different things. So if we've got our spiritual eyes and ears open, we'll be able to see how to pray more effectively in that situation. Amen. And that's super important. And then the perseverance, like I said, it's not how we start, it's how we finish in our life. But now, I want us to look at the beginning part of this verse. Notice what he says here. He says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, let's put the Amplified Bible up, Debbie. Because I believe the Amplified Bible kind of clears these muddied waters up a little bit. Because when we read that, usually that doesn't mean as much to us as it needs to mean. But I believe the Amplified Bible got a lot of this right. When it says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. So do you see this? It actually changes the structure of this verse around a little bit, and it's actually saying that you need to be praying at all times, and it specifically describes what those times are on every occasion and every season in the Spirit. So basically what this commandment is to us, this weapon of our warfare is what? Praying in every season in the Spirit. Now I'm going to get ahead of myself a little bit today, but let's talk about praying in the Spirit. If you go to many charismatic, Pentecostal-type churches and you mention anything about praying in the Spirit, most people automatically go to, that's praying in other tongues. And I do not believe that's true. I believe when you pray in the Spirit, you can pray in tongues, but I believe you can pray in the Spirit without praying in tongues. Because to pray in the Spirit is to pray by the inspiration, through the power, and through the enablement of the Holy Spirit. And I've come to find out that there's been many times where I've been a part of a prayer meeting or even praying on my own personal time that the Holy Spirit will a lot of times take over in my prayer life. And I'm praying in English and things are coming to me and I am in a flow when I pray in the Spirit that I wasn't in beforehand. And I like to describe it this way. It's like that flow of rivers of living water. It's like floating downstream as opposed to trying to swim back upstream. It's like riding an escalator rather than climbing up and down stairs. There is more of a ease, there's more of a grace, you might say, when I'm praying in the Holy Spirit, and He'll give me the specific way in which I'm to pray in those times. So maybe next week I'll get into talking about how to get into praying in the Spirit, but that's not really the point I want to emphasize today. It is this, is that when we pray, always, at all times, in the Spirit. The word always here that was used in the New King James comes actually from three Greek words, and it literally means in every season, at all times. But when it, like the Amplified Bible brings out, the times it's being referred to there are seasons, appropriate times, and so forth. So what this shows us is that there are appropriate times for different kinds of prayer and entreaty. And what this shows me is that I need to know what these various kinds of prayer are while I'm praying in the Spirit so that I will tap into the right kind of prayer in the certain situation that I'm in. Amen. Now, I'll show you a good example of this. It would be like when we talk about different kinds of prayer and supplication. Do you remember when I've made the point through this teaching already, the fact that Paul says through all kinds of prayer and supplication shows you something. The word supplication that's used there, the Amplified Bible says entreaty. The word supplication literally just describes requests or petitions, right? So supplications is talking about your requests, your petitions. Let's just say it this way, the things you ask God for. So notice that he makes a distinction between prayer and asking God for stuff. Now, if you looked at most people's prayer life, you'd come to find out that people, when they'll say, oh, I prayed for an hour today. Oh, really? What did you pray? Well, I was asking God for this, and I was requesting Him for this, and I was petitioning for this. Oh, so you mean you supplicated for an hour today? Because there's a difference between supplication and prayer. He also says this over in Philippians chapter 4, I believe it's verse 6, when he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So when Paul says this here in Ephesians 6:18, when he says praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, what he's basically saying is there are different kinds of prayer and there are different kinds of requests and petitions that we ask the Lord for. There's specific ways to do this. And the way to know when to do it is by praying in the Spirit. So what I want to begin doing this week is talking about what are the different kinds of prayer. Next week we'll get more into the different kinds of supplication, the different ways of requesting God and petitioning Him for things. And this week though, we're going to talk about prayer. And we found out prayer, when we talked about what prayer is this. It is the vehicle by which we have relationship with God. It is communion with God. It is communicating with Him, which com means with. So basically, you're communicating back and forth with God, which is a point that I'm going to get into today to show you a kind of prayer you might not even knew existed. But what we're learning here is that prayer is simply our relationship with God. It is our communion with God. It's not necessarily me asking Him to fix something or to change something. Prayer is me just talking with God. Amen. So, what I've come to find out, and I'm going to lump these together, three different kinds of prayer that we've already covered throughout this series, and I'm going to put them in one category today. The prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of praise, and the prayer of worship in our life. Thanksgiving, praise, and worship is, in my opinion, an all-season kind of prayer. You know, we're starting to realize that this time of year, don't we, is that we usually change our wardrobe over. It's like, all right, I need to get over into my winter clothes right now, right? I got my summer clothes and I got my winter clothes. Well, it's like that with prayer. You got different kinds of things that you can put on in different times, but I believe Thanksgiving, praise, and worship is an all-seasonal kind of prayer in our life. In other words, it's supposed to be something that is done the majority of the time in our life. So let's talk about the Thanksgiving again. Again, thanking God is not just saying, thank you, Lord. You know, it'd be like, a lot of times the way people thank God or the way they thank God regarding things, it'd be like me saying, I thank God for Pastor Robert. If I'm talking to you right now and say, I thank God for Pastor Robert, right? What are you going to be thinking? For what? Right? So if I'm thankful, I'm saying, thank you for all the ways that he blesses and benefits our church. Amen? So I'm getting specific. It's like that in my prayer life, is that when I am communing with the Lord constantly, what am I doing? I am thanking him. I'm showing my gratitude to him all throughout the day, 24/7, for all the things he's done in my life and for me. And for the things I know he's working in that I haven't seen the manifestation of yet. We talked about our nation. Shannon talked about thanking God and confessing things before you see it. Did you know this is something that we should probably be doing right now in our country? Is thanking God that you are working, Lord. Father, I thank you that you are working in our nation. And I thank you it's not going to hell in a handbasket. God, you are working and it is increasing. The kingdom of God is coming in our nation. There's a green wave that is flowing throughout our nation of the life of God, praise the Lord forever. And God, I thank you that the life of God is working in our nation. So it doesn't matter what the world is painting the picture of, and it doesn't even matter what the results are of the election. God is still on the throne, and he's still working. Amen? And I thank you, Lord, for that, that my Father is always working. Do you see that when I am approaching things with that spirit, and with that attitude, do you see what that does? It changes the atmosphere. You could probably sense it changed the atmosphere just by declaring those things. It might be that way with somebody in your life that irritates the snot out of you. Oh man, we all got them, right? We got people that will just do things that just irritate us. That you might be sitting right next to them right now. Don't look at them. Don't look at them. Well, what is the approach that we should be taking in our life? Thank God for them. Find something to be thankful for in their life. God, Lord, I thank you that, I thank you, God, that they, I know that they do all these different things, but I'm not even going to emphasize all those things. I'm going to thank you. They cook really well. Praise God. I want to thank you, God, that they smell good. Their attitude might stink, but boy, they smell good. I can choose to focus on positive things instead of magnifying the negative things. But it's natural for us to focus on negativity, isn't it? I'll just tell you, this is one thing that puzzles me. I'm a big baseball fan, all right? I love baseball. Not the Atlanta Braves, but I like baseball. And I've come to find out that on the outfield, on the lines that you have, if the ball comes on the inside of it on the playing field, it's a fair ball. And then you got that little pole that goes up in the outfield, and what is it called? A foul pole. Did you know if the ball hits the pole, it's fair? Why do we call it a foul pole and not a fair pole? Just one of those things that puzzles your pastor. But I will just tell you, it's because the tendency in us is to magnify negative things, to look at the glass half empty instead of half full. And what we as a people need to do, whether it's our nation, whether it's with our spouse, whether it's with our church, whether it's with your pastors, is thank God for the positive things in them. Oh, praise God. Be thankful. You know, I was talking with somebody not too long ago, and they were talking about our church, you know, and they didn't mean it in necessarily the way it can be taken, but they were talking about, well, I'd like to see this more at the church, and I'd like to see these things happening, and all this kind of stuff. And what I'd kind of found is that the tendency would always be what we're not doing right. And I'm like, you know, just indulge me for a minute and tell me for a minute anything that we do right. Yeah, they smell good. Good one, Ned. I mean, but this is my point, is that we can be thankful, and we should be thankful continuously in our life for anything, everything, and everybody. So this is a majority part of my prayer life. It's what? It is thanking God for things in my life. Did you know that every good and every perfect gift in your life has come down from above, and God is the supplier of that? Your next breath, your heartbeat, the health you have in your body, provision, having money in the bank account, having food on the table, these things that we don't have the tendency to esteem very much, God has given them to us. And I've been guilty of this very thing, is that it's easy to pray religiously, you know, we've talked a little bit about that, like when we pray for the food. Let's say the blessing, they say, or let's say grace, right? And then we just go through this mechanical way of praying and so forth. Did you know if you went for a couple of weeks without any food at all, like there are people on this planet that have, I can guarantee you, if you're a Christian and God provides you with some food after a couple of weeks, you'll be praying over your food a little bit differently. Thank you, God, for this food. And I'm being grateful for it. So we have to stir ourselves up to think about how God has blessed us and all the things we have, because we're not promised all these things. We cannot have these things tomorrow. So let's be thankful continuously. So the prayer of thanksgiving is one. How about the prayer of praise? You know, praise in most Christians' minds, or worship, let's just combine these together, is usually only reserved for Sunday morning. That's the only time people praise and worship God, most Christians, the only time people praise and worship God is with the song service when Oliver gets up there and leads us in worship. Did you know that's not supposed to be the way it is in our lives? We should constantly be praising God in our life. And praising God is not just singing a song that has been pre-recorded, playing the music and singing along with it. It can be that way, but praise is something we all do constantly. Did you know that? Some of us praise our grandchildren. Some of us praise our favorite sports team. Some of us praise a store, an organization, or a person. And this is how they do it. When they talk about how good and great it is, and they magnify it. So it shows me we can be doing that about God. I used to get criticized when I first got saved for this very thing. And you're going to think this is funny. But I used to get criticized because when I got saved, my heart got so full of God. He was all I talked about. All I talked about. God this, what I'm seeing in the Word. God so awesome, all this different stuff. And I would have Christians. You hear that? Not unbelievers. Christians come and tell me, you don't have to talk about God all the time. And you know what my answer would be? Yeah, but I get to. What's your heart full of? What do you want to talk about the most? You can live your life praising God. And praising God is not just what you do directly to Him. It can be you talking to somebody else about Him. Amen. You can go to somebody and just say, Paul, let me tell you how great God is. This is what He did this week. I went into this store, and this person was there, and the Lord just showed me that they had this need in their life, gave me a word of knowledge, and I went up to them, and I said, can I pray for you? And I spoke those things into their life, and they got healed right there on the spot. Isn't He awesome? I just praised God in that moment far better than most Christians do during the worship service on Sunday morning, because my heart was in it. He was magnified. He was exalted. He was praised. So praising God is not just saying, I praise God, or I exalt the Lord, or I extol and magnify Him. Actually, That's what you do when you praise Him. Amen. So if I'm lifting Him on high, what am I doing? I'm talking about, God, You're bigger than everything else. I just thank You, God. You are the source of everything. Every need I have in my life, every mountain to be gone, You are bigger and You are greater than that. I just exalted the Lord. I magnified His name. Not by saying, I magnify His name. I magnify Him by magnifying His name. How about worship? Oh my gosh, did you know that you probably at some point in your life have worshiped for essentially what worship is? Other people. And I'll tell you why. Shannon worships me all the time. She does. She'll say, "You're so smart." I mean, she'll actually tell me these things. You might not believe it, but she says it. She's a saint, praise God. And it because worship essentially is what? Adoring and loving the object you're worshiping. Do you see that? That's the way we should be living our life with God. Is that, God, You're so wonderful. You're so smart. You alone are wise. You're so handsome. I'm giving her more ways in which she can worship me. And you got to do it by faith. Amen. You're not going to see Him, but you're worshiping Him. Do you see now with thanksgiving, praise, and worship how these are things in which we can incorporate into our life? Because I've had people say to me before, when you talk about singing, say, "Well, I can't sing." Well, nobody's asking you to record an album. Somebody that we listen to, preacher, I like the way he says it. He says it this way. He says, everybody can sing. Not everybody should record, but everybody can sing. Make a joyful noise, right? You know, honestly, I could care less if I'm standing next to you and I start singing whether you like my voice or not. And that's why I've always comically liked it when people come to me at our church at various times, since the time I've been here, and they'll come and say, "Well, I don't like that song." They'll tell me after that, "I don't like that song." And I'll just say it as nice as I can and say, "It wasn't for you. It was for Him." Doesn't matter whether we like it or not. It matters, does He like it? And if He likes it, He inspired it, then we should be singing it to Him. Amen? So let's worship Him. Let's praise Him. Let's thank Him continuously through our lives. And as we learn, it starts as a progressive thing. We enter into His gates with thanksgiving, through His courts with praise, and into the Holy of Holies with worship. This is the way in which we can feel the manifest presence of God in our life. That's what we have available to us. Now, that's just a few forms of prayer. Just the communion side of it. How about this one? Praying in other tongues. Oh, praise God. How many of you can testify that praying in other tongues has meant so much to your own spiritual life? Because there's just sometimes to where you need your brain to be detached from the prayer because you're doing something else. Maybe washing dishes. Maybe studying for something even. Did you know that? When you pray in tongues, your understanding is unfruitful. Therefore, during that time, I can pray to God, is what the Bible says that I'm doing. And when I do that, guess what's happening? The Holy Spirit is praying through me. He's given the utterance to me, and my spirit is praying. Therefore, my understanding can be unfruitful, meaning my understanding can be on something else. I do it all the time. This is the way I love to read the Bible. I'll read the Bible, and I have to do it quietly because I have the tendency to be a loud person. I know you have a hard time believing that, but I have a hard time, you know, not being so loud. So when I'll pray, or when I'm reading the Word, I'll pray in the Spirit underneath my voice so I don't distract myself. And I'm reading, and I can comprehend what I'm reading while I'm praying. Because why? I'm getting double for my money. Because I'm building myself up on my most holy faith, praise God, and getting edified by the Word of God. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Let's look at something. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. You getting anything out of this morning? Amen. So praying in other tongues is another kind of prayer that you and I can pray. And I know the Pentecostals have messed this up for us because they'll come to tell you, no, you can't pray in tongues whenever you want. You can only pray in tongues when the Holy Ghost comes on you. And I've been around and I've seen these people, they do that, and that's just not true. The Bible says, yes, you can pray in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance, but the Bible says, and they spoke as the Spirit gave them utterance. Doesn't mean the Holy Ghost came on them like a nauseated stomach and made you pray in tongues. No, I can turn it on, amen, and turn it off, because the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me, amen. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, I want us to look at this real quick. He says, for verse 2, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God." Now, that should get you real excited right there. Is when I pray in tongues, who am I talking to? And not you. Amen. I'm talking directly to the God of the universe. "For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries." Now, mysteries just can mean secret things, things that you are unaware of and you don't know. But when you look at the word that's for mysteries here in the New Testament, it's almost exclusively used to describe the mysteries of our new and better covenant. It's talking about who Christ is in us and who we are in Him. So when you and I pray in other tongues, what are we doing? We're speaking directly to God, and we are speaking mysteries. I would say we are speaking the revelation of this New Testament, this new covenant that we have. This is powerful. And now look at verse 3. He says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification, exhortation, and comfort to men." Now, a lot of times we only apply this to prophecy, but the whole point when you read this is this: the difference between tongues and prophecy. And how he talks about how tongues with interpretation is the equivalent of prophecy. So if tongues plus interpretation equals prophecy, then what that teaches me is tongues, when I pray directly to God in other tongues, this is what I'm doing for myself. I'm speaking edification, exhortation, and comfort to myself. That's awesome. How many of you have ever needed a time in your life where you needed to be comforted? Oh my gosh, I'm sorrowful right now. Something's getting all over me. This cloud's looming over me. We'll pray in other tongues because it can yield comfort on the inside of you. How many of you ever needed to be exhorted? You needed some encouragement in your life. You're down in the mully grubs and these other things are happening. Well, pray in other tongues because then the Spirit will pray through you to exhort yourself in the Lord. And you can edify yourself when you do this. Oh, this is awesome. Build yourself up. One expositor says it this way: this edification describes something like charging your spiritual battery. How many of you have felt dry before? You don't feel like you did feel in your Christian life before. You know, and you feel like God's absent. You feel just dry as a gourd. And all of this is what I'm experiencing. Praying in other tongues is a way to release the rivers of living water that are in me. This he spoke concerning the Spirit who was to become. And the Spirit then prays out of me and I can become refreshed. I can have my spiritual battery charged up. So this is a reason I believe tongues is also to be a kind of prayer that we should incorporate into our life regularly. Because for those times where we have to be busy about other responsibilities in life and we can't sit there and check out of that and pray with our own understanding, praying in tongues is the tool that you can use for that time. So like we talked about, in every season, praying with every kind of prayer and entreaty, right? Well, what would the season be that tongues is appropriate? It would be appropriate in the times where you have to be busy about something else in your life. Tongues can really help during that time. And this is a way to pray continuously, to pray without ceasing. Now look at verse 4. It says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Amen. How many of you know we need both of this? I need to be able to edify myself, and we need to be edifying one another. This is why we need to be embracing the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our own lives personally and in our church corporately. Can I get an amen? So tongues is another form. But do you know what another kind of prayer is? The one I told you earlier that is a little bit less understood? Do you remember when we talked about prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue? Right? If it's relationship with God, if it's communion and communication with God, how many of you know that prayer is not just me running my mouth all the time? Another aspect of prayer is what? Me listening sometime. And you'd think we'd have enough sense that if God knows infinitely more than we ever dreamed of knowing, and be the one who alone is wise, the one who is omniscient, meaning he's all-knowing, that we would probably take a little bit of time in our prayer life to stop, be quiet, be still, and know that he is God, and let him speak back to us. That's another kind of prayer. Because it is the relationship, it's the communion. And so now, it's not just being one-sided, it's me receiving from God. So I believe some of the best ways in which we can pray like this to be hearing from God is with this book right here. Let me share with you an awesome way to pray. Many of us think that our prayer time is different than the time we read and study the Word. I believe they're the same. I believe just the reading and studying the Word is my time of listening. And now I'm reading this, and when I go into it, I'm like this. Holy Spirit, I thank you that I have communion with you. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who inspired the Scriptures. You authored it. You inspired people like Paul and John and James and Jesus and all of these to say the things they said, to write the things that they wrote. So Holy Spirit, like I would desire in my life if I was studying Shakespeare, the best thing for me to have would be having Shakespeare right next to me explaining what he meant. So Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're right alongside of me today. You're here to help me. So thank you that as I study today, you will connect the dots. You will lead and guide me into what I'm studying. And then when I do that, watch what happens. The Holy Spirit then begins to have words jump off the page to me, reference me over to another scripture. He'll lead and guide me into all truth because thy word is truth. So now he's helping me to hear from God. I heard from somebody that's real close to me one time. I'm telling you, it's awesome how the Holy Spirit will communicate with you. They wanted to know, they're from Athens, and they wanted to know whether they got invited to go on some retreat or some meeting of some sort in Toccoa, Georgia. And so guess what you do? Do you just go just because you're invited, or do you ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into the things you're supposed to do? You're supposed to be asking the Holy Spirit of everything. And so they asked the Lord, and they said, Lord, should we go up there or not? And then one of them was reading their Bible after that. The Bible just fell open to this Old Testament passage of Scripture. It said, and they went up to Toccoa. How many of you ever played Russian roulette, Bible roulette before? Don't answer. You're not answering the Russian roulette one, right? The Bible roulette one. Which is what? It's like, God, I need to hear from you today. And, all right, I need to hear you. And Judas went and hung himself. That's not what you want to do. That's why it's kind of dangerous. Sometimes it's good to do that. And sometimes it is good to throw those fleeces out there to be able to hear from the Lord and so forth. But what I am saying is the Holy Spirit in how you are hearing from the Lord. And He will use the Scriptures to communicate specific direction to you. And also general information to you. Amen. So the prayer of meditation is another kind of prayer in which I hear from God. Prayer in other tongues is what builds me up. Prayer with thanksgiving and praise and worship. There's other ones I don't really have time to get into this morning, like the prayer of consecration, which is what? It's what Jesus prayed in the garden when he gave himself over to the will of God. Amen. Sometimes that's something that you should be doing in your life is, God, I give this wholly into your hands. I am now taking this situation out of my hands. I'm casting my care over on you, and I'm consecrating myself to you. Another one is the prayer of confession, which involves what? The prayer of confession would be me confessing maybe my faults and what I've done. Let me say it this way. The prayer of confession can be me confessing what I've done, but the prayer of confession can also be confessing what He's done and what He will do. So it is me then saying what I need to say. And it's been well put that there's a time to pray and there's a time to say. And that's where it becomes important with all of these things that we're learning about knowing how to pray in certain situations. I've come to find out that a lot of different people, that when they do pray, they are praying and asking God to do things that He told them to do. You know, Mark 11, 23 and 24 is a good example of this. For assuredly I say, whoever shall say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes of the things which he says, he will have whatever he says. Right? That scripture does not say, go to God and talk to him about your mountain. It says, go to your mountain and talk to him about your God. So when you see what the need is, and you see the thing that is in your sphere of influence and power and authority, what are you doing in that situation? You go to it. Norville Hayes. How many of you heard of Norville Hayes before? Love him. I listen to him all the time. He just, because he makes me laugh, and I think he's got good substance. So I listened to his stuff, and he was like, he had a situation where his daughter, Zona, who has now also gone on to be with the Lord with him, where she had all these growths all over her body. You remember this story? And she had all these growths, and he was praying and praying and praying and praying for years for God to remove those growths from her body. And then he had a supernatural experience with the Lord where the Lord took him to the third heavens and Jesus appears to him. And Jesus says to him and said, how long are you going to put up with those growths in your daughter's body? And he goes, Lord, I don't know what you mean. I've been praying about this for years. I've been asking you to take care of them. I've been focusing on them and this and that. He said, I haven't heard you curse those growths like I cursed the fig tree. And the Lord began to then teach him that he's been praying and asking God to do it. See the prayer there, but not the protocol. He's been asking God to do it when God said, you do it. You have the authority to do it. And so then he got this revelation, and when he came back into his body, he said, I made haste, and I went in there and spoke to my daughter's body and commanded those growths to die from the root, just like Jesus cursed the fig tree. And he said it was just a matter of time before those growths dried up and left, and she got new baby skin. Do you see what I'm saying here is that there is the protocol of prayer. There's the time to say, there's the time to confess, there's the time to request, and there's the time to entreaty. And when we know what these different kinds of prayers are and the different kinds of supplications that we'll learn next week, we can walk in more of a manifestation of the kingdom and glory of God in our life. Amen.